Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Believe in Everything Auburn is brought to you by Bet Online. It is down to the final four teams, and Bet Online has been your tournament bracket headquarters all March long. And now that we're almost down to the finals, we've still got more in store. MLB is here, NBA, NHL playoffs are around the corner. And as always, Bet Online is the number one source for your summer sports wagering. So head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action, and remember to use promo code BELIEVE for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is BLEAV. BetOnline, the game starts here. War Eagle, everybody. Welcome back to Believe in Everything Auburn. Taylor Davis, Jason Campbell. We welcome you in on this lovely spring day. Plenty to talk about. But more exciting than what we're going to say in the next 10 minutes, we have a guest joining us at the end of the episode. And it's one that we don't know a ton about as of yet. And so this interview is awesome to get a little insight into a young guy who is making his name known around Auburn already. Defensive lineman TJ Lindsey is going to join us at the end, talk all about his transition to college life and his expectations for this team come fall. So you want to stick around for that. I welcome in Jay Cam, who certainly gets the opportunity to know these guys beyond football because of your involvement in the NIL collective and some of the initial conversations that you're having with them. And you mentioned, you know, a guy like TJ Lindsey being a hard worker, being a competitor, a high character guy, which this coaching staff has put an emphasis on, and clearly this program, and I would even say college football in general, really needs. So pretty cool to kind of get a peek behind the curtain on a guy like that.
Yeah, he's an Auburn guy. Like, yeah. I know Auburn guys when I see him, when I'm talking to him, and, you know, you're around him, like, you kind of know who fits the program, and you kind of know, like, I don't know if this guy's going to make it.
Sure.
And then you kind of know, I don't think this is the place for this guy. You know, so you know these things based off of conversation, and right. You can't say it, you know what I'm saying? But when you talk to TJ, like, you know TJ is an Auburn guy. TJ reminds me so much of Keldrick Fault when I talk to Keldrick. Is they have similar character. They're very similar in their approach to the game, their approach to life. They're both hard workers.
Yeah.
And, you know, ironically, having both of them probably this week and the next week. So I'll show you, like, this program is headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
We're getting the right type of guys now that fits this program, and they care. You know, they're not just want to be here. They don't want to just make NIL money. Like, they want to put a stamp on the program,
right?
And they want to leave a great legacy. And that's the type of guys we're trying to look for. And TJ definitely fits that mold.
I love it. I love it. And you don't necessarily know what you're going to get from a guy who left high school early. He's an early enrollee. He moved to Auburn to be there for the spring semester, but he's 18 years old. He was a four-star defensive lineman, so obviously he was highly touted. I know Texas was up there. Texas A&M was up there. Like, he had a lot of high-caliber offers, so you know he was getting all the attention and accolades. And at 18 years old, how does that affect your character? How does that affect how you interact with people and how you view yourself? And I was so impressed. First of all, he seems older than 18. He looks it also. He looks like a grown man, but he carries himself with a demeanor that doesn't strike me as an 18-year-old who left high school early and has probably gotten a lot of attention in the last year. He spoke so openly about wanting to work hard and wanting to compete. And he gave a lot of high praise for his teammates. So really exciting stuff. Make sure you stick around for that. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. But we got to talk about the biggest news of the sports world that transpired this week. And that is women's basketball. And that is not a sentence you say a lot, but it is true. Iowa, LSU lived up to the hype. Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, all the marbles. I hate that it was the Elite Eight and not the championship. You know what I mean? It felt like a championship, but the highest viewership of any women's game higher viewership than any regular season college football game except Ohio State, Michigan last season. Incredible numbers, 12.3 million people tuned in to view this. So if you are an advocate for women's sports, if you are a fan of women's sports, this is a step in the right direction. But women, men, I don't freaking give a dang. It was incredibly entertaining television. And as just a sports fan, it lived up to the hype. Tell me, Jay, give me all your thoughts.
I've been watching women's basketball for the last 2 years, probably just as much as I've been watching men's basketball. And the reason why, women seem to play more of a team game.
Yeah.
Men seem to play more of individual game, where someone wants to be the star, someone wants to be the guy and everything, and they can get caught standing around while one guy's trying to go one-on-one. Women are mostly moving around. The ball is moving. You know, you can learn a lot by watching a women's game if you're a basketball player.
You've always said that. You can learn a lot about the game.
It's a lot of teaching tape there.
Yeah.
And it's time. It's time that the women deserve the viewership and the support that they're getting. You know, the game has been going on for a long time. And it's sad that it took someone like a Caitlin Clark to look like a Steph Curry shooting a three from so far. Which, let's be honest, Steph is the one that kind of started the three-point thing. And basketball is probably why Caitlin started shooting so many threes coming out of high school. But you're seeing so many kids now do that. So both of them has changed the game. Like, Steph changed the way people watch the NBA because of the three-point game, which you That's true. If it's an AAU basketball tournament, because I used to coach AAU basketball a couple of years ago, all these kids want to shoot threes, even at 8 years old. I'm like, dude, scoot up. You're not strong enough. So now what happens? Caitlin Clark, last 2 years, has just taken the game by storm.
Yeah.
You go to AAU basketball, you watch high school basketball games, women basketball games. Everyone's trying to wear that number 22. Mm-hmm. Everyone's trying to cross over and hit the step back three. They're not even trying to shoot close to the three-point line. They're trying to shoot 4 feet behind the three-point line because that's where she shoots, is 4 feet behind the three-point line. So their influence and the power of the game. She's going to be one of the ones that's going to help change the WNBA salary. Ironically, everything times up, right? This year, she's going, however they finish out the Final Four, she gets drafted first pick overall. Her season starts in the NBA, WNBA in the summer. This is their last year in that TV contract. So the numbers are going to be stupid with people going to her games, going to support the WNBA. You know, because there's other women coming out this year that's going to be solid as well. So now you have all the support. And now the numbers go up. You take that 12 million viewership in the WNBA TV contract. Now that plays into their CBA agreement nets.
Do you think that that viewership will translate to the WNBA, though? Or do you think a lot of it is tied to school fandom?
A lot of it's tied to school fandom. Because you look at like the South Carolinas, the LSUs, the Iowa, Ohio States, you know, all these women basketball teams, they're packed out games.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So you wonder, I think the stardom follows Caitlin because she's going to be in all the commercials.
She's an anomaly.
So the more she's in the commercials and the more that they're putting eyes on her, if she's doing this in the WNBA, shooting these type of threes, people will watch at that standpoint. But I get what you're saying, because we've seen a lot of great girls come out of college and go to WNBA, and we never hear anything else about them.
Right.
You know, it's like we're because the TV, they got to come up with a better TV deal and do more streaming their games for everybody to be able to get involved with it and start watching. If you don't piggyback off what's going on now, if you're the WNBA commissioner, I don't know when you ever will. Because
100%. It's at its highest right now.
It's at the highest it's ever been. Uh-huh. When you see the logo and all those great girls that played at UConn back in the day, Lawson that played at Tennessee, all these people that's involved in this game, and now everyone's pushing the game forward. If you're the WNBA commissioner, if you don't capitalize on this, they may need another WNBA commissioner, because
that's so true.
This is the time to raise the women's salary. The highest they make in the WNBA is $252,000. Like, that's the highest. That's why they have to go overseas and play. We shouldn't have to send our women overseas to make income when they're impacting the game. I understand you got to have the viewership and everything. That's what pays the chances. NFL players make so much. NBA, because the viewership is there. You get in viewership now. So can we just improve their salaries more than what it is? But this has been phenomenal, Taylor, watching these games. I'm excited to watch this weekend. No one even talks about Paige anymore, the place for UConn. Her whole career, injuries have hurt her during this time, but she's healthy now.
Yep.
And they're playing shorthanded, and this girl can ball. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Paige and Caitlin. And not just those two, but the teams. I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm looking forward to seeing if South Carolina, are they going to close the deal this year? Last year they went undefeated, lost in the semifinals. You know, can they close the deal this year? NC State, men's and women, is in the Final Four. UConn men is in the Final Four.
Yeah.
And in-state men and women both were 3-seed. So, you know, it's just about getting on the run. That's why we always say, I thought Auburn could have made it to the Final Four this year.
Yeah.
Because when I look at the men's Final Four, nobody scares me. You know, Tennessee easily could have been in there. Bama's in there.
That game.
You could have had two SEC teams in the Final Four after we stunk it up starting off the tournament. And we ended up with two teams in there. So it's been a fun March Madness. It didn't start off as fun, but it's really gotten fun the last couple of weeks. I hate it for Houston, though, losing their point guard early.
Yeah.
That's crushing, man.
Right.
But I'm glad Taylor's been paying attention to all the games now because she's been so busy. She's been gymnastics. She's been women's basketball, SEC tournament. So
literally.
It's been hard. I'm glad you got a chance to grab some popcorn and get on the couch and see some.
Yes. Absolute cinema. Couldn't agree anymore. I think your point about the WNBA is really interesting because, you know, we talk about with even football, the decision of going pro versus staying collegiate. And for a lot of these guys, it's kind of even like the amount of money I'm going to make in NIL versus if I go and I'm a fourth round pick in the draft this year. The way women's basketball sits right now, an Angel Reese is going to make way more at LSU than she will if she goes to the WNBA right now. So I honestly think that you're more inclined to stay in collegiate ball as long as you can until the tides turn for the WNBA. And so from a business model perspective, from a marketing perspective, you have to your point, capitalize on the momentum that has been built on the collegiate side. Because what I do think helps build fandom is building stars. If you become a fan of a person, of a player, of a story, you want to see that through wherever it takes them. So for Caitlin Clark, she has been such an anomaly and such a difference maker that I do think there will be people inclined to see that story lived out wherever it takes her. And if that is in the WNBA very soon, they are going to follow. But you got to capitalize on that for everybody. This should be the pinnacle. So I'm hopeful that they carry that on.
And I think Caitlin's decision to come out, because everybody's like, man, why would she come out? You're going to make way more while you're in college. Her decision to come out, I think, is being pushed by some women in the WNBA being pushed.
Probably they've got to have something ready for her.
Hey, our TV contract is up this year. If you stay in college another year, by the time you get to the WNBA, that salary will still be $252,000 max. But if you come in this year, our last year on our TV deal, our TV numbers go through the roof this summer. Mm-hmm. Now we signed a new CBA, and now you're helping all the WNBA women make more money. So I think it definitely was a bigger push for her to go to the WNBA, and she's still going to have the commercials. I'm pretty sure all the sponsorships and everything is going to follow her to the WNBA. Now for Angel Reese, I honestly think Angel should stay in college.
Me too.
Here, because her, even though she's big from a phantom standpoint, people looking at her and everything, it's not as big as what Caitlin's doing. You know, So I think it benefits her because she doesn't have the State Farm commercials, the Gatorade commercials, all those commercials. So for her to come back next year, she'll be probably one of the faces.
The biggest names. Yes. Biggest
names in the college basketball. So she made $1.8 million this year or something in NIL. But she'll probably make $2 million this year because she'll be one of the biggest names. So if I'm her, if I'm not a top two pick, I still might not go. But Caitlin Clark, it makes sense for her to go. Angel, I'll probably stay.
I totally agree with you, Jay. As far as the men's bracket goes, my champion is still alive, but my other three are no more. But the Final Four ending up being NC State, Purdue, and UConn, Alabama. Thoughts on the Final Four, prediction for the championship and the victor?
I know it's hard for us to say, you know, anything about Bama, but let's face it. They play ball. Like
they've had a great tournament run.
They've had a really good tournament run. What they didn't do well during the regular season, which they didn't play defense. They just try to outscore everybody. They start playing defense. Sears handling the ball. You could tell it's so important to have a veteran.
He's been great.
Guard that can shoot and can know how to deliver the ball. And, you know, Nelson, that kid has been playing, you know, out of his mind the last couple of games. So as much as we are against them from a rival standpoint, they've showed up and represented the SEC well in this tournament.
I agree.
You know, even Tennessee did Purdue. You know, it was going down to the wire.
That was a great game.
It was a really good game. You know, the stars showed up. And then you think about NC State, the big guy down low. Like, you know, he's made himself some money this tournament. You know, he's already been selling ATM machines. You know, he's trying to sell double ATM machines now.
Yeah. But,
you know, you think about UConn. UConn is probably the most put together team out of the four that's left.
I would agree.
And they haven't been a lot of noise around them. Everyone knows they're good, they're a special team, but it hasn't been the noise that's been around NC State. It's been around Alabama. It's been around Purdue. Purdue's biggest Achilles heel was getting out of the first round. Every time they had a great team, they got thumped in the first round. Once they got past the first round, it's almost like another antenna went off where they was just like, oh, we're confident now. And they've been playing that way. The big guy down low, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, dude, you know, to be that big.
He's 7'4".
Right, 7'4". And he can shoot free throws.
Yes.
So the game of basketball is just expanding. And this is going to be an interesting tournament. I got Purdue picked to win it all in one of my brackets. Houston was my other bracket.
Yeah.
And I still think Houston would have been there had not been for the injury to their point guard. But you know, this is an interesting tournament, Taylor, because it's the four teams that are left, what do they do very well? They play team basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And the four teams that's left in the women's game, even though Caitlin drops 40, the other two girls had 21 and 18.
Yeah, that's so true. So who do you think comes out of the men's final four?
Purdue against UConn.
I'm going UConn as well.
And
that's my thing is like, UConn doesn't look like they skip a beat, really. And like Alabama, we know they can fall apart. They can have a bad game. They did it in the SEC tournament. UConn's a well-oiled machine consistently. And Purdue has a twin tower under the basket at all times. Like, there's only so much you can do with a 7'4". Did you see when they cut down the nets after the Elite Eight? He didn't get on the ladder.
All right. He just stood.
He just stood. Like, that, enough said. Like, Tennessee, bless their heart. They did absolutely everything that they could do. They had multiple guys foul out because, like, what do you do with a situation like that?
Yeah. Like I said, Tennessee was on their way, but I think UConn is going to pull we're going to run the big guy. As soon as they score, they're sprinting the ball down the court, trying to lay it up. Pretty much what Iowa did to LSU in the second half.
Yeah.
They came out the second half with a totally different brand of basketball, where as soon as LSU scored, somebody was inbound the ball and I was pushing, laying the ball up. So what you do with that, you take their biggest stars out of the game, especially the big down low post people where they can't get up and down the court fast enough. So when you slow it down to a half-court game, you actually help the bigger guys and the bigger women. But when you push the ball down the court and you're a smaller team, which is UConn is smaller than Purdue, they're going to be pushing that ball as fast as they can if they meet in the finals. Bama already pushes the ball. So that's why I say UConn, it would have been a better matchup for Bama to play Purdue than to open playing UConn, because now UConn can run with Bama. Bama wants to get you running and shooting.
Yes.
UConn can do that.
Yep.
So it's going to be an interesting Final Four on both sides. You know, it's going to be a popcorn weekend.
I know. I'm so excited. Well, adding to the popcorn weekend is A-Day, which happens on Saturday. So as excited as everyone is for the Final Four, make sure you tune in to the incredible radio broadcast. Forget the TV. Radio broadcast with my guy, Jay Cam. A-Day happening on Saturday. We've said it 50 million times, but I will repeat myself. You can't take a ton away from A-Day. It is a watered-down version of team, of plays, of scheme, you name it. But if there are some guys for fans to keep an eye on, if there are some aspects that we could take away from this exhibition of sorts, give them a few to keep their eye on this weekend.
First of all, we say get your popcorn ready, but don't put too much butter in your popcorn for this spring game. You know, just go get that.
Save that for the final four.
Get the 100-calorie popcorn.
Skinny pop.
Yeah, skinny pop, you know, for the spring game. Don't go invest too much money into some movie butter popcorn. Nah. So, you know, that's first and foremost. Second, everyone want to watch Cam Coleman. I've heard the receiver room's kind of beat up. I know a lot of people want to see a lot of the new receivers. So that's one group everyone's going to be looking forward to. I would probably say the next group, you know, Jalen Crawford is a guy, you know, Champ Anthony is a guy to keep an eye on. You know, TJ is probably going to talk a little bit about Prince, the big tackle that came over from Mississippi State, 6'7", big dude, you know, like, you know, everyone wants to see what the offensive line going to look like, you know, but everyone's already looking and we already know everyone's watching number one. Yeah. How much Peyton has grasped and how much more the offense he's gotten under his belt since he's now had a whole offseason to be here compared to last year. He came in the summer and everyone wants to see what the young pups are. How does Walker White look as a true freshman? How does Hank Brown carry momentum from the bowl game? Is Holden Garner going to look a part to stay, or will you see at the spring game it's time for him to transfer? You know, so a lot of things are going to happen the next week because the transfer portal opens up. So most guys that probably didn't see themselves in the top two of the depth chart probably will try to test the waters. Others that are in the top two of the depth chart, you know, I'm not sure, you know, Auburn's really going to add too many pieces. I think they have enough of their foundation that they need. But everyone's going to see how does the ball come out of Peyton's hand? What's his connection? But we also got to remember Perry Thompson's not here yet, but he will be in the summer. And everyone will see Robert Lewis, the transfer from Georgia State, the receiver. He's a speedster. So that's what I want to see. I want to see passing attack precise. What I mean by that is, does the ball come out on time? Is it accurate enough to let – you don't have to be so point that you're accurate now because you got big receivers.
Right.
I just like, is the ball in the vicinity for Cam Coleman, these guys, to make ridiculously catches that we know they can make?
Yes, 100%. I'm excited. And the new tight end, what's his name?
Oh, yeah, new tight end. Gosh, why did I just go?
It's kind of a weird name, and we've already got Rivaldo, so I get confused.
Transfer from Maryland.
Yes.
Dad played at Auburn. Why did I just go blank with that?
I don't know, but I'm excited to see him as well. Anyway, so A-Day happening this Saturday, Final Fours happening this weekend. It is also regionals for gymnastics, so whoever comes out of this weekend will find themselves in Fort Worth 2 weeks later for the national championship. So there's a lot going on. Baseball as well. I promise I'll start watching baseball, okay? One thing at a time. But we are going to go ahead and head to the TJ Lindsay interview again. Thank you so much for listening and following along. As always, you can subscribe if you haven't already. You'll get a notification every time we release an episode. You can find us on YouTube where we do a video every single week, Believe's YouTube channel. And come on back next week for potentially another exciting guest. You won't want to miss it. But without further ado, TJ Lindsay.
Rico Walker was his name, everybody.
Rico Walker. I'm so sorry, Rico. Okay, here's TJ. Look, I am so excited to get to talk to you a little bit, just to get to know you more. There's a lot of excitement around this team and specifically the new guys joining into this program. And I know y'all have to have a lot of pride for that excitement around your class. Talk to me a little bit about the last few months. Like I said, you're an early enrollee. You're participating in spring ball right now. What's it been like for you, you know, moving to the Plains and getting going with this team?
It's been a great experience for me. I think it's been a great experience for everybody, really. Everybody loves it here. I just like the town. I mean, like, the people. Yeah. They made the living here, like, just way better. Like, I just like living here. It kind of reminds me of, like, where I grew up. Mm-hmm. It's just a really good, like, friendly town. I mean, like, everybody's nice. Everybody knows who we are. Like, I go everywhere, and, like, I get recognized all the time, you know. And they're nice, and a lot of kids, like, they like to talk to us and stuff like that. I mean, the process of living here has been great. I feel like that's what stands out with us, with everybody. Like, all the visits I went on, like, this is more of a family place, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then, like, the coaches, they've made it easy too. Like, you know, they coach us hard and all that, but they care about us, though, you can tell.
TJ, so you's from Arkansas, and then you played at IMG Academy, and you also got some high accolades as a basketball player. So, you know what they say about defensive linemen that can play basketball? You know, so talk a little bit about, you know, IMG, how it prepared you for Auburn, but also just talk about, you know, you playing two positions this year pretty much. And, you know, where did basketball come from? What position did you play in basketball? I'm just very interested.
Yeah. IMG was my last senior year. You know, I decided to go there. They helped me a lot, especially in the lifestyle wise, like living on my own, like really having to make your own decisions. You know, like, it's different when you finally get it. You know, everybody wants it until you get it, you know. And I'm glad I did, because I'm more of an independent person. But it's definitely different, though. Like, you know, everything's on you. Going to class, eating, you know, like, just doing the right thing, like, and that's all on you. And you know, you can skip it and face the consequences, or, you know, not. It was the first time in my life I had that, and it really prepared me here, because it's like the same exact lifestyle, you know, living on my own. And that really wasn't a shock to me, like how it was when I went to IMG. It was kind of a shock. I was like, you know, I wasn't ready for that for a little bit. You know, I definitely got accustomed to it, but it's just different once it really happens, you know. And then development-wise, I wasn't there for too long, but they definitely helped me see a lot of stuff. Like, a lot of stuff I'm learning here is the same stuff I learned there. And I credit that to some of my old high school I went to as well. We were a really good team, and they taught me a lot like that. And then basketball, I grew up in a basketball family. Like, I'm the only one that played football. My dad is actually bigger than me. He's like 6'6", 6'7", somewhere around there, like a really big dude. He was athletic, apparently. He was windmilling and all that. You know, I didn't get all that. But he used to play football and basketball up until, like, his 9th, 10th grade year or something like that. And then he quit playing football. He said it's the biggest mistake he ever had. Wow. He was really good at basketball, though. I think he played for a little bit at Samford in Alabama. Uh-huh. He was really good. They won a national championship, I believe, in 1992. So, like, they were a really good team.
Nice.
Out of Arkansas, yep, at Parkview. And then my brothers, I have two older brothers, they both hoop. So, like, you know, when I was a kid, all you want to do is what your brothers do, you know. And my whole family, all they did was hoop. So that's really all we did. And it's crazy, because one of my older brothers is really good at football. He quit too. Wow. To play basketball. And, you know, my dad, he told me when I was around like 7th grade, you know, I had the same plans. He told me, he's like, nah, you're gonna be the one that finally sticks to it. He's like, I'd have made too many mistakes letting everybody just quit to hoop. But no, I was definitely, I was pretty good. You know, I think I definitely chose a path that I can go further in, but I think I would have been good in basketball too. Probably a little lower D1. It's just, what did I play in basketball? I played everything from the 3 to the 5. I was never like a 2 to a 1, but like, I could play a 3 to the 5. I could definitely guard every position though.
He makes me think of that guy from North Carolina State, Taylor, the big dude down low.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We all know about him now.
Yeah. Back when I was hooping, I wasn't that big. I was big, though. I was like 230. And, like, in basketball, that's, like, huge. Like, you know, I could guard every position. It was great. I spread the floor. I was a really good passer, actually.
Man, he can do it all. And clearly, your athleticism has brought you to Auburn in a role that – like I said at the beginning, there are expectations with it, but I'm curious from your perspective, a highly touted kid, 4-star coming in, you had a lot of SEC offers, you had a lot of offers in general, but specifically in the SEC, which, as we believe here, is the highest level of college ball. So when you are having those early conversations with Auburn coaching staff, What was your impression of what you could do at Auburn? What were they telling you in those situations? Like, hey, here's where we are. Here's where we see your fit, to the point that you decided to choose Auburn.
Yeah. Auburn, well, when they initially offered me, I really didn't. I really was like, you know, I didn't know too much about Auburn. I knew who they were, obviously, but I didn't really know.
Yeah.
At first I couldn't see it. But then, like, you know, I started talking to the coaches and to a lot of just the people around the building. And I just really like the feeling, like, you know, when you come here, it's completely different from what you think it would be.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, you think of Alabama, you kind of think of like the country, but it's not like that. It's like, you know, it's like a nice town, a nice city. And I mean, a lot of the things they were telling me is like, you know, Auburn, everybody knew, like, when Cam Newton and them were here, like, they were always really good, you know,
totally.
Like, it was, until recently, and they want to bring that back. And, you know, Coach Freeze, I know he's a really good coach back when he was at Ole Miss and Liberty, like, you know, I've always known about him. So he had talked to me, at the time Coach Garrett was there, he was talking to me, he was like, you know, it's wide open. I know Keltrick was here. He was a really good player they had. And I mean, I saw what he did this year. Last year, you know, and they reminded me that, like, you know, it's open right now. You know, I think we're on the come up. I definitely think we're about to be one of the best teams coming up here soon. And, you know, it's wide open, and the people that want it, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of us freshmen, we really want it, and we're really here to work.
Yeah.
And they just told me that if I come in here and put in the work, you know what I'm saying, they see me playing early and leaving early, you know, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then the development-wise, just the people they have here, I was really comfortable with being here.
Yeah, TJ, you talk about all the things. I remember when I came to Auburn, it's a similar way. You know, I heard a lot about it. You know, saw him play on TV. My brother played 6 years before me in the SEC at Mississippi State. So I kind of knew a lot about the SEC. And it took me a few times, but the more I kept coming, the more family-oriented, it just felt differently than any other university that I went to. And ultimately, that ended up being my decision, you know, why I chose to come to Auburn. You're coming in with a really good class. You know, you guys finished top 10 nationally. The year before, they finished number 12. This year's class is shaping up to be a top 5 or 6 class. Just talk about the guys you came in with, like, as a class. Like, what are your goals to that you guys want to achieve?
Yeah, the guys that came in this class, like I said, we like to work. I can see that from day one. You know what I mean? When we started just the team runs and the lifts, you know what I mean? I think everybody can attest to that. And we compete, too. Especially in spring ball, like, I see a lot of us out there playing and competing. You know, we might not have, like, some of us might be lacking something, but it don't matter to us, honestly. And our goal really is to take over within the next 3 years, 2 years, you know. I think we'll be really good this year for sure. And then the next year, you know, the sky's the limit, honestly. Because we have a lot of good older people this year. And then, like, us, you know, young, fire, we want to get in it. But just a lot of people have stood out in their position groups, I would say. Even though we're young, you know, it doesn't matter. I think that we've shown out.
You mentioned spring ball, and I would love to hear more about kind of how the coaches have cultivated that environment for you guys, how, like you said, the competition aspect of it, and you're just a few days away from A-Day, and while it is a smaller sample, getting to go out into Jordan-Hare in front of fans is always exciting. So just kind of walk us through what spring practice has been like thus far and what you're looking forward to about A-Day.
Spring practice has been really good for me and just the team in general. Like, you know, Coach Freeze even told us he thinks our passion and our effort has been 100. You know,
awesome.
Like, and I agree, too. It's been really competitive. You know, there's been days where we've got the offense. There's been days that they got us. There's a lot of days where it's even. Like, we're just going at each other, you know. And that's really what you want at winning teams, you know. And it's just been really good. I feel like everybody has gotten a lot better. And that's really what spring's about, you know. It's been even, you know, like the rep count and all of that. And the people who want it, you can definitely tell. And, I mean, there's not a lot of people out there who just don't want it. I think a lot of the team is really bought in.
Yeah.
And that's I think we're, like, really on want to be better and, like, want it for ourselves, you know, and want to make Auburn good again. Everybody listens. Everybody's really coachable. We don't really have any drama. Like, you know,
right.
We're all coming together. I think it's great. And then A-Day, you know, I'm really looking forward to going to Jordan-Hare, you know, and I know it's not the game day experience, but they said we're supposed to have one of the best ones, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I think the spring game is going to be really good and really interesting. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Hey, I always wonder with the format of spring games, you know, I mean, we played, it was you know, starters to play a little bit, but then all of a sudden, you know, everyone else, they try to get the younger guys a lot of reps in front of a crowd and try to see how they can react, you know, with people watching. So we didn't get a chance to play too long in the spring games, but there was always a scrimmage. And the scrimmage for us always came the Monday after the Saturday spring game. I think for y'all, that may be y'all last day. I'm not sure if y'all have another day after spring. But for us, they always kept a day afterwards. So on Monday, with closed doors, it was ones versus ones going at it. Wow. And, you know, it was very competitive and everything. But looking forward, you know, because Coach Garrett recruited you and helped get you to Auburn and everything. And then, you know, you have to see him leave and he went to Jacksonville. And then Coach Vontrell stepped in. Talk about the role. I know you guys were excited that Vontrell got bumped up to the job because he was helping Coach Garrett last year. But just from being in that room, how has Coach Vontrell been with you guys?
Coach Vontrell, he's been cool, man. Like, he's been, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's way deeper in football with him. He was like that in my recruiting process. You know, he's just somebody I can talk to. I think, and then on top of that, I really think he deserved it. Like, he's a really good coach, you know? I think if we didn't get him this year, you know what I mean? He might have left soon because somebody is definitely going to get him. Mm-hmm. And he deserves it, man. Like, he puts in the work and he gives us great feedback, great technique. He's really passionate. You can tell he cares about you. You know what I mean? He treats you like you deserve to be treated, you know, like young man, he's never disrespectful and he's always just 100 with us. And that's really all you can ask from a coach. He's stepped into the role really well. I feel like, you know, the times where I am playing D tackle and I'm in that room. I mean, he's done great with me. You know, it's not a position I've played a lot, but I definitely can play it. And he's echoed that to me. He thinks I can be really great at it, you know? And, he's just been really good from what I can tell so far. And everybody on the team loves him. Even if you're not a D lineman, like every position does. He talks to everybody, has good relationships with everybody. He's just really good people.
That's awesome. You obviously get the best vantage point possible being in there, the practices and whatnot. From a defensive perspective, who's been wreaking havoc offensively? Who have you guys as a defense been like, man, this guy is a pain when he's out there?
I'd definitely say Cam Coleman. He's
has
been
to be, right?
He's legit. Nah, he's legit. All that, all the hype. He got it. He's gonna be an NFL talent for sure. He's probably like the best athlete I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. And I played with some good athletes, especially the IMG. Like,
I know you did.
His athleticism is crazy. Like, he saw one of the best catches I've ever seen, like, in person in my life. It was last week too. He caught a back shoulder. No, not a back shoulder. He caught a back of the end zone catch behind the defender's back. Like, it was on his back, and he caught it, drug his toes. I ain't never seen that in person. But he's definitely one of them ones.
Dang.
Yeah, I think this team is shaping up to be playing a lot of young freshmen this year.
Me too. You
know, yourself, Cam, and, you know, you got Bryce Kane, you got Solomon, you got Pierre Thompson coming in. Like, you guys are loaded, man, as far as, you know, Jalen Crawford has been making some noise at the cornerback position as a young pup as well. So, you know, this class is going to be deep, and you guys are going to play big roles this year. Defensively, other than yourself, who is someone that's standing out on film when you watch? You be like, man, this guy here just, like, lights out. Like, just – he's a football player. Like, who's that guy for us?
I could say a couple people. For me, it'll really be Keldrick. When I watch Keldrick, he's above me right now in my position. I mean, he is like – he's something special too. Definitely one of the best football players I've ever seen. Like, he makes so many plays, just how smart he is, how athletic he is. He disrupts so many things. When he's on, like, you know, and he's always on. Like, he's always there and attentive. But, like, when he's clicking and he's on his A game, it's tough to stop him, man. When I watch film, I always watch his film, too. Because, I mean, that's what I need to learn from. And he's been so great, too, like, with giving out advice. You know what I'm saying? It's a competition, but it's a competition that makes us better. You know what I mean? And we know that. You know, you want multiple good people like Amaris. Amaris is another freshman. I mean, he's been doing really good. You know what I mean? Like, me and him learning from him. Other people that I say stand out all the time is definitely Eugene. I mean, he plays with so much passion and, like, he's always doing the right thing. Like, he's just a really great leader. Like, he's a natural leader, you know what I mean? Like, not forcing anything. And I respect him too. Another person I see really standing out is Austin Keys. He's another freak of nature. Like, I've never seen a linebacker that big and move like that. He does everything. Those people really stand out to me.
All the guys you're listing are also really great character guys too. And that seems to be a theme, and it's been a priority for this coaching staff, I know, in recruiting. So it's also a testament to what they saw in you. What would you say about yourself right now? And I think it'll be interesting maybe in a year after you get a full season under your belt. But for fans that don't know a lot about you right now, and for you coming in, you know, ready to take on the college world, what would you tell fans about the type of player that Auburn is getting in you?
I would tell them a playmaker. Yeah. Like, for sure. Like, definitely a playmaker in everything from the run game and the pass game. Like, you know, right now I'm probably making a little freshman mistakes. You know, my coach talked to me about that. But playmaking wise, like he said, I got it. You know, I'm always going to go out there and compete for sure. Effort always on 100. You know what I mean? Like, I can control that at all times, so I'll always give maximum effort. But I would definitely say a big-time playmaker. And I feel like that's what the team was lacking, like, in certain areas, you know. And we got a lot of them. A lot of the freshman class that came in and a lot of older people have gotten a lot better from what I can tell.
Awesome. Well, I just have one more for you, and then if Jay has one. But I'm just curious about this. So you're an early enrollee. Are you going to prom?
No, I don't think I am. I think we have the option to. I ain't too interested in it. Okay. I'm going to graduation. I think
that was my other question.
It's kind of tough because if I went to prom, I would probably go to prom in Arkansas, like the prom, like
right.
At my school. But my graduation is at IMG, and I think it's in the same weekend.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay. You gotta choose
graduation and prom.
Yeah, my mom said she wants to see me walk across the
street. I get that. Yeah, TJ, you don't miss anything, TJ.
Yeah, you're all right, man. You're all right. You know what I'm saying?
But, yeah, I ain't tripping on it too hard.
But the season is fast approaching. Summer will be here before you know it. You look up, training camp is here, and you guys going to be sweating. You haven't seen heat yet that you're going to see in August. But when you guys get ready to lace it up, man, what's the one thing you're looking forward to the most? Is it Tiger Walk? Is it, y'all don't get a chance to roll the tree because they're doing that by the time we don't won the game. It's before you even get off the field, it's rolled. Is it Tiger Walk? Is it playing in front of 90,000, the fourth quarter, and a night game in Jordan-Hare? Which one is it?
For me, I would say definitely playing in Jordan-Hare. Like, I experienced the Iron Bowl in the Georgia game. I mean, those are environments I want to play in that. And then another thing is the Iron Bowl. I'm looking forward to the Iron Bowl big time. I wanted to play against Nick Saban so bad. I've always wanted to play against him. I respect him as a head coach, like, tremendously. But I've just always wanted to play against him. And then just seeing how I measure up to everybody in the SEC, you know, first year, you know, I think it'll be really good. So, but you know, only time can tell. So,
yeah. Well, hey, you're doing all the things right to get started off on the right foot, and a very impressive guy beyond just a football player. So, TJ, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. So good getting to know you a little bit better, and excited for what's to come for you on the Plains. So, best of luck with everything.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. See you at practice on Thursday and call your game on Saturday, man. So have fun. You're always a class act, great character. We need about 50 more guys like you, man. We'll be what we need to be.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.